Well, on Sunday mornings, we've been taking a look in the Scripture about the worship of our Lord God Almighty, the worship of Him. And the song that Natalie played there was along the line of worshiping our Lord and how that we are to come and to worship Him, and we look to do so. This morning, I want to remind you once again there, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is a time when the Ark of the Covenant has been, David has brought it to Jerusalem. He's made a tent for it. And he prays unto the Lord and gives thanksgiving unto the Lord. And he declares there in 1 Chronicles 16:29, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him," before the Lord. And if you have your Bible there, you'll no doubt see that it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah God, the great three in one. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we see that in the Psalms, as I've read to you. It's affirmed in Psalm 29, also in Psalm 96, that David has this thought about worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We've taken a look at different aspects about worship, so many things, so many pieces and parts regarding such. It's only the Lord that unto Him worship is due, and that is what we're to do. We're to worship in adversity and so many other things that we've talked about and mentioned. But this morning we just want to take and kind of take the opposite side of the Lord is the only one to be worshiped. Take the opposite of that for you and me, and to know and understand that man is to never be worshipped. Man is to never be worshipped. I declare that in our society, in our culture and country, that is the greatest issue that we have as a people in our culture, is the worship of self. We want to put ourselves first. We want to put our thinking first. We want to put our way first. We think that we know in our own wisdom what is best. And the thing is to worship ourselves is a very, very wicked and terrible thing. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 1, because it gives us an outline there about what happens with the worship of self. In Romans chapter 1, the apostles opening up and his introduction into this book and previous verses, and he's wanting to come to the folks at Rome, and at this time he's writing. And he declares unto them about his desire to come to them, and not being able to. The Lord had prevented that from being the case to this point. And he talks about his ministry, and he wants to come there and preach the gospel unto them, and not that they might be saved, but because they are saved. The preaching of the gospel is a glorious thing to any child of God. If you and I get tired of hearing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, may we introspect and look in. If we get tired of that, claiming the name of Christ and to be his children, we get tired of hearing that, get tired of being the message being directed to that, or that being brought up in the services, we need to look inside and see what we have. There's a few fellas during my time and associated with some. One brother I think of up in Illinois, just on the other side of St. Louis there, a little bit to the north. He was a member of one of the churches that we fellowshipped with. And he on several occasions decried, "Why do they keep preaching the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ? Let's move on to something else." And you know what happened to him in a few years after that? He was saved. He was saved. One brother I know that you know that was greatly convicted going to a Bible conference, and the Lord laid on the heart of one of the brethren that was preaching, another brother that you know. And the first brother that I mentioned, I'll not tell you the names to protect the guilty, but he went back to the hotel room and said, "Bible conference? Why in the world would you preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at a Bible conference?" And in those words, he became very convicted. He became, which is good, and he admits so himself. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the blessing that we have, our Lord Jesus having done these things for us. So Brother Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth in Christ, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to every man. It is declared and given. It is the means of salvation. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This one believes, and that one believes, and that one believes, and are saved by the Lord, and the righteousness of God is revealed every time sinners are called to salvation, confess Christ as Savior. As it is written, the justified, and Brother Stephen touched upon that in a Sunday school lesson this morning, shall live by faith. A life started, and the brother is getting to that in his study, but you've heard me say it often, I'll continue to say it, a life started, I'm talking about new life, being born again, a life started by repentance and faith is a life continuing in repentance and faith. Because that is just the fruit that's evidenced by someone that is saved. That's the reason he refers back to this passage in the book of Habakkuk. It is true. The justified shall live by faith in their Lord and their Savior. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This revealing that the Lord has done, he has revealed his displeasure against sin. And then listen to what it says here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. You go off and you find a tribe off in a land that's just isolated from what we would say civilization, and you find within them that they've got rules. They know what's right and wrong. They don't necessarily know God, but they know an offense when they offend one another. And they have leaders, and they develop laws. Now, some of their laws might not be good, but many of the things just fall in with what's common and understood in humanity. God has showed it unto mankind. We've been made in His image and His likeness. Listen, for the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We see it. You saw it on the way to services today. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. We know within us there's someone out there, okay? So that they are without excuse. Listen, because that when they knew God, they know, all of mankind knows, there is a power greater than them. We have a void within us that can only be filled by the Lord. We naturally are dead in trespasses and sins, and we are very much alive in person. We're very much alive physically. Your soul that God has given to you at conception is eternal. But spiritually, we are dead. And the only way that we can be made alive is by the Spirit of God living within. Being made in the image and likeness of God, we have the capacity to have fellowship with our Creator. And that's by the Spirit. Okay? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. We land on this earth, we're born here, we grow up here. I remember it plainly when I was about 12 years old. I'm not saying that's an age, I'm just telling you how it was for me, and I realized, I'm here. I'm here, and look how big this place is. And of course, I grew up in a home where the gospel of Jesus was proclaimed, and accountability to God was proclaimed, and the very realness of me being a little speck on this earth, but me being on the inside of me, and I sure didn't build this. This just didn't just happen. Knowing how it is that everything that had been my mom and dad had ever bought to furnish their house had been made by somebody else. Surely all of this has been made by someone. As great and as glorious as that hot thing comes up in the morning, it did yesterday, it did today, and it's going to tomorrow. Come up in the east. It never comes up in the south, due south or due north. I understand the way that the planets, but you understand what I'm saying? Every person has experienced that. It says here, that we are, his Godhead is revealed in this, so that we are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, verse 21, they glorified him not as God. They know of God. They know that God is there. But when we begin to seek, neither were thankful, but became empty, vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's the reason that as one of his churches, we proclaim the word of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that of the creation, that of who our life comes from, that is our accountability, the commands of the Lord. We declare that into a world. We've got folks in Logan County, Kentucky, that have never heard about God and never heard about Jesus. It is the case. And so, knowing that God is there, what is it that we find with isolated peoples and tribes? We call them the heathen. They make a god out of something, don't they? Everybody makes a god out of something, someone, somehow. Listen to what the scripture says. Foolish heart darkened, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, who made all things and made you and me, into an image like unto corruptible man. The worship of men. Whether it be their leader, whether it be a tale that they are told down through the centuries of some great leader that they had, whether it be something that they understood even historically about the workings of God, but over time in the culture, it became corrupted and it was added to, taken away from by men. We see those evidences in all different tribes and nations of peoples on the earth. The worship of men. Now it goes on here to say, indeed, corruptible man, some, like the Egyptians, birds, others, a four-footed beast, the Greeks and the Romans like that, and others, the Chaldeans, and creeping things. Yeah, the folks there in Egypt and otherwise like to worship snakes and such. That's a part of their gods that they had and such. What we want to focus on is that of the worship of men. The worship of men. You and I, we really don't have anybody. We don't have a monarch in our country that's held up for us to honor and worship as our king or our queen. Those kind of things are really removed from us. We just don't get that in our country about having a monarch over us, one person that rules over a people. We have this government that we've been blessed with, and I think it is a blessing. I'm glad for it. I'm thankful for it. I hate what mankind has done to it. It's just the corruptive influence and work of men. But in our country, in this great blessing of freedom and independence that we claim and we hold to and love so dear, we do have a tendency to just come over here and say, I've got it figured out. I've got it figured out. I tell you what, watch what the worship of men and self will do. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God. See, his glory it stands alone and is to be held in awe. Mankind has been made to glorify God. It's very clear in the scripture. And it's clear in the headship of the Lord. He tells us that we are subject to Christ, and Christ is subject to God, the Lord Jesus, having become a man himself. He says here, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like an incorruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things, making that image a departure from the spiritual is left. It's the only way that God can be worshipped is in spirit and in truth. And we've come to the carnal, the temporal. We take a stock of wood, make an image. That's what some do. Some take concrete and pour it into something and make an image. Others take gold. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He wanted to take gold. He heard about the interpretation of the dream, I believe, and so he made an image of gold that was really, really tall. Wherefore, in this, God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust, the desires of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Yes, the Lord just jumps to the and cuts to the chase about the worship of men, the worship of the idolatrous ways leads to a corruptness. There's a group of religious so-called organization that has a terrible problem with this. You listen and read on. The thing is you go to Asia and you find out, you see depicted on the temples in Asia, the most vile, wicked, heinous acts committed amongst mankind. That's what idolatry leads to. That's what the worship of men leads to. We'll read on. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Let's not talk about a bird or an animal or anything. Do you serve and worship you more than you do God? Think about it. It's not to be. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, and you notice that in verse number 24, because of this departure from God and missing God, it's and the apostle is going to, he's setting the groundwork here why the word of God needs to come about, because in and of ourselves, mankind cannot find God. We need the light of the Lord to see the light, okay? That's the reason that Homestead Baptist Church is here. Again, it's the commission that we have is preach the gospel to every creature, baptize the believers, and then teach the word of God to those that come and believe. Because without that word, mankind just doesn't know how to get to God. And when we try, we miss it. We miss Him, okay? So in this departure, this self-wisdom, this self-pursuit, verse number 24, there's a giving up by God. Okay? Verse number 26, because of these things mentioned here, this misappropriation of glory and honor to God, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Does that sound like any place that you know of today? How about these United States? All right. Everything God has given for mankind is under attack. You name it. Whether it be the rainbow, whether it be the family, a man and a woman being married, and the having of children from that marriage, everything has been turned upside down. People confused about their gender, which there's no confusion about gender. God made that. Lord made that. He gave everybody the gender He wants them to have. And they've got it. And it's right. Not to be changed, not to be altered, but to be found very comfortable living within, because that's God's design for you. Everything, I mean, the most foundational things that God has given for mankind, the world wants to turn upside down. And Satan is working, and people, the depravity of man, is working. And so the Lord gives it up. Verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, go mention the name of the Lord. You can mention any other God you want to, any other prophet or priest that you want to, but go mention the name of the Lord Jesus in some places, and folks will tear their shirt, get upset. How does the words, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, how is that going to physically hurt anybody? Movies that are made to try to glorify the Lord and give a right, righteous position about issues in our culture and that are rated very highly, like wicked, vile movies are rated, because you don't want to corrupt the children. It's crazy. It's madness, isn't it? Yeah. Well, that's man worshiping himself rather than worshiping the Lord. We're saying, God's made it this way. We don't like it this way. We know what's better. So giving up, read on. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, verse number 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A mind A mind that produces, when it produces anything, it's vile and wicked and against God. Oh, it's pitiful, isn't it? It's sad. The only solution for that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this giving up, the Lord says, you want it that way? You've got it that way, and everything that goes with it. A reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's a long list, isn't it? It runs right along parallel with the list that's given over in the third chapter. You can read that, telling about the terrible depravity that we are engulfed in naturally because of sin, because our father's sin, because of our willful desire and pursuit of sin. We're bent towards nothing but that. When we hit the air in this life, we're found liars immediately. It's a sorry, sad affair when men worship themselves, isn't it? It is. It is. He goes on to say here, can you believe the Apostle Paul said this? Listen, it's the word of the Lord being spoken by him, who knowing the judgment of God, face it outright, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. That's what the Lord says. These things are wicked. Not only do the same, but we see this in our day, but have pleasure in them that do them. The wicked, the one separated from the Lord, not desiring anything of the Lord, the one that worships self has no greater thrill than to see another do worse than them. The worship of man. It's not a good picture, is it? Not at all. Man is never to be worshipped. It is a corruptive, corruptive affair. Look at this in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, there's a man. His name is Herod Agrippa the First. He's not the Herod that sought to kill the Lord Jesus, but his grandson. And he comes here to a day, and there's Peter has been delivered by the Lord out of his clutch. Brother James, the apostle, John's brother, has been killed by Herod. And so he took Peter to do him in and to get in better with the Jews, it seemed. And so, but the Lord caused Peter to escape. He's got more work for Peter to do. Peter will die for the Lord's sake, but not now, not this one. And you wonder about Brother Peter there being in jail. It says there he was very comfortable and asleep. He had no problem. The angel came and smote him. That's what it says. It hit him. Get up, Peter. You're out of here. And delivered him out of there. Some believe that because of Peter's escape and maybe even him fleeing to Tyre and Sidon, that this, what we're going to read here, was the case, that he was displeased with them, that they were found to be harboring the apostle. We don't know that, but some believe that. But there's this strife between Herod. He's the tetrarch of Galilee at the least, and maybe a greater region than that. It says in verse number 20 of Acts 12, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, having made Blastus the king's chamberlain. This is a man that's very close to Herod, in his court, in his administration. He's got Herod's ear often, and he tends to the needs and the wants and the things of Herod. That's the work of the chamberlain. They made him their friend, Blastus, and desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And we understand that to at least to be Galilee to the north. And so he was displeased with these people. And so Tyre and Sidon, we studied about them not too terribly long ago. And so these two cities. And so they sent an ambassador and went over there and wooed Blastus and said, we need to get this thing settled between us and your boss because this is going to be no good for us. Okay. So they made a big day. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. They placated him. They listened to his speech. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, it says this in the scripture. We know that it's true. But this is backed up by historical fact. It was a terrible way of dying. And it broke forth on him right then. As he claimed to be worshipped and received the worship that's only due God. Being smitten of the Lord, eaten by worms from within. That's what God thinks about the worship of men. Men are never to be worshipped. Never. Never. Now, when I say men, I say mankind, the descendants of Adam. So in conclusion, let's turn over here to Romans 12 and just take a look at a couple more passages. Men are never to be worshipped. It's a short message and really concise. The Word of God says it so very plainly. All my extra stuff probably just doesn't do much good. If we just realize or just hear from the Lord what He says, He alone is to be worshipped. And may each one of us be challenged in our lives. Do we worship ourselves or do we worship the Lord? Do we abide by Him and what He says and what He wants for us in our lives? Or do we just pitch the fit and say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do? In Romans chapter 12, the apostle speaking and begging the folks there at the church at Rome about walking with the Lord. And what's he say here in chapter 12, verse number 1? Present our bodies a living sacrifice. And who do you sacrifice to? To God. You sacrifice to one that you worship. And he says, let it not be a dead one, but let it be a living sacrifice. Our own bodies a sacrifice unto the Lord. Puts the perspective right. He goes down through here in verse number 9. We pick up here about the character and the pursuits of the children of God. Those who say are saved, they believe the gospel of Jesus. They say Jesus died for them. They're trusting and resting in him and his shed blood for them. And what he's promised, it is unto them that they were the wicked sinner, deserving hell and damnation and condemnation forever from the Lord, but Jesus has saved them, changed them, birthed them again. He says to us, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. What he's saying is don't worship yourself. Be a giver. And honor preferring one another. I joked over at the jail with Brother Mark and Brother Stephen. They give us sheets there, and they want to know everybody that comes to the service. And I thought of that a couple times ago when they went to the jail service over there. I write their names first and mine last. I prefer them before myself, even in writing their names down, lest if they come get two, they won't get me. maybe that's not what it's talking about. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, verse number 12, patient in tribulation. These are fruits of the Spirit and the work and the pursuit of the children of God. Continuing instant in prayer. What a blessing that is. Distributing the necessity of the saints. And thank you for those that have been doing that here in the church, for our membership and their need and their time of difficulty that they're having. Thank you for those that have provided so many meals. Given to hospitality, as the Lord blessed the church to do so at the conference. You know what? That word gets around. And that's not the reason we do it. We do it because we want to honor the Lord. But I tell you what, folks that have heard things about Olmsted Baptist Church are finding out other things for themselves. And that's the blessing of the Lord upon us. Yeah. We just need to do what the Lord would have us to do. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Listen, be ye of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to Men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceits. When men are worshipped, or when we worship ourselves, we have indeed become wise in our own self-wisdom. That's what that word conceit means. We become like Lucifer did there in glory, being made the highest angel that there is, and being maybe even part of the throne of God, the cherub that covereth, the Lord says in the scripture regarding him. But he had five I wills that he said that he was going to be like the Most High. He's going to sit in the sides of the north on his throne. He's going to do this and he's going to do that. He didn't seek to worship the Lord whom he had been made to worship. But he became wise in his own conceitedness, his own self-wisdom. And may God help us that we not do the same and worship ourselves. Because it is vile before the Lord. He's the only one to worship. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to evil no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Our Lord says, if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Conceitedness. Conceitedness causes us to worship ourselves and to worship men. And then Brother Peter, being used, and he was the, if you will, speaking as a man, he was the nut to crack regarding the Gentiles and salvation coming to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10, we see this account. Cornelius is doing the best that he can with the light of God that is shining towards him. The Jews and their word, the scripture, the oracle of God that they have. And he knows he's been shown. He's a man that's been a pagan. He's a heathen. He's a worshiper of a number of gods, typically. This man, Cornelius, but the Lord's word has been made effectual to him, and he's seeing that there's more, that God is true, and that his blessing upon this people is greater than anything that the Lord has done with Rome. And he's becoming convicted about this, and the Lord takes this apostle, this man Peter. The Lord's working on Cornelius, and he's working on his apostle too for the sake of working on the church. These Jews that have been saved and left by the Lord, his body and representation with this mission to take the gospel into all the world. And the Lord's making it evident through this man Cornelius and his household that yes, even Gentiles, non-Jews, are going to be saved by the Lord. And Brother Peter, who is believed by many to be the first pope, which he's not. He's not. He's not the first pope. There's no such thing as a pope. Our Lord Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. The Holy Spirit, the work of the Comforter in the church, is that connection that we have spiritually into our Lord. And he is much here with us, with Olmsted Baptist Church, as he was with that first church in Jerusalem. We just can't lay our eyes on him. We can't touch him. But he's promised through the work of the Comforter that he is with us. And he will give us, lead us, remind us in all the things that we need. Cornelius is told to send for Brother Peter. The Lord deals with Brother Peter. Don't have time to read all the account. But no doubt Cornelius is thankful that his prayer has been heard. He's just petitioning the Lord and what he knows to understand, to be shown from the Lord what is the truth and what is the way. And the Lord's worked on Peter to say, don't be afraid to go down there and to go on down. And so he goes, and he takes some guys with him, and Cornelius gladly receives him. And what do we see here in Acts chapter 10, verse number 25? And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. Now understand, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. This is a man that's got at least 100 soldiers under him. He's like the other centurion, the centurion that came to the Lord Jesus for the sake of his servant. And he said, he's sick unto death. I need you to heal him. And Lord Jesus says, come on, show me where you live and I'll go healing. And the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy that you come under my house, under my roof. I'm a man under authority. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. I say to this soldier, go, and he goes. I say to this soldier, come, and he comes. He says, I get authority. He said, all you've got to do, Lord, is say the word, and he'll be healed. And the Lord marveled at him. That's what the scripture says. He said, I've not found so great a faith in Israel. That centurion, that Roman soldier, captain, if you will, leader over 100 plus men, said, you have the power and you have the authority to do that. That's what this man is. So understand the context of who this centurion is. He's not a flunky, okay? And when Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up. He grabs a hold of him and lifts him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. Now, if there ever was an opportunity for Peter to confirm that he was the Pope and the one that has the keys of the kingdom and the leader of the Lord's church on earth in his stead, that would have been the opportunity to do it. But what did he say? When this man, the centurion, a leader, a soldier in the Roman army, a leader of better than 100 men, falls down to worship him, he says, get up. I'm also a man. And we have declared to us very simply, very plainly, they have declared unto us, man is never to be worshipped. And may God help us. May we never worship ourselves. May God help us we not worship ourselves. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. Repent of your sins before God. Not before me, not before the church. We understand that for a sinner to be brought to repentance and to understand that they need to repent, you very well may tell us, but we're not the vehicle by which it gets accomplished. You need to confess your sins before God. Brother Paul writes in Acts chapter 20, verse number 21, the focus, the spear point of his ministry and work was to declare unto all men repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection for you personally. You need Him as Savior. Not just an add-on, but the Savior that you need. We point you to Him. Repent and believe and trust in Him.